We're asked a question as we considered a question this morning, a different question this evening. What is your eyesight like? That's the heading for the message. What's your eyesight like? Not on a physical term, of course. Some of us are beginning to realize that we do need glasses. But what is your spiritual eyesight like? And it seems to me that as we read and have read through Ephesians chapter 1, that this is the burden of the Apostle Paul. He's concerned about the spiritual eyesight of the believers at Ephesus. Before we go in to consider this need of spiritual illumination, just look at the chapter for a moment. The Apostle Paul reminds the Ephesians of four tremendous things, many more of course, but four seem to stand out. First of all, in verse 4, the Apostle Paul reminds the believers that they are chosen by Christ. Verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him. Chosen in him. Have you forgotten that? Says Paul to the Ephesians. Secondly, that you are accepted by him. He uses the phrase, accepted in the beloved. In the beloved. He was music to the soul. He was comfort for our hearts. To be reminded again that as believers, not only have we been chosen in Christ, but we are accepted in the beloved. Thirdly, the Apostle Paul is reminding the Ephesian believers here that they are now, having been chosen and accepted, they are now to bear fruit for him. Verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, bearing fruit. Did you notice that? Beloved, it's not just faith in the Lord Jesus, but there's growth and your love for all saints. Don't forget that. And fourthly, growth in the knowledge of him. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Growth in him. He's pleading that the Ephesian believers might show the marks of spiritual maturity. Growth. That there may be increase. That there may be some progress in their lives as Christian believers. So we can say, O Jesus Christ, grow thou in me. Is there that spiritual progress being seen in our lives as Christians? Chosen us in him, accepted by him, bearing fruit for him, growth in the knowledge of him. Now we're going to center our thoughts particularly on verses 18 and 19, which seems to deal with this subject of spiritual eyesight. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. The Apostle Paul is mentioning great and wonderful truths here. He's reminding the believers of Ephesus of their standing in Christ. They've been chosen by him. They are accepted in the beloved. And what Paul is saying to them, surely, oh, that your eyes may be opened to begin to understand what you are by God's grace, where you are by God's grace, and where you're going by God's grace. Oh, that your eyes might be opened in that word, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. There's progress here, isn't there? Progress. I repeat again, oh Jesus Christ, grow thou in me. I want him. I want more of him. We were thinking this morning of those times when perhaps we've lost that sense of his immediate presence. But oh, that tonight you and I might be able to say, I want more of him. Oh Lord, open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things. Oh Lord, open mine eyes that I may begin to see my wonderful position, my wonderful inheritance, what I am and where I'm going. The Amplified New Testament in these two verses, 18 and 19, I believe make it very helpful. Let me just read it. Paul says, and by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, and so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty power. The Amplified unpacks, the Amplified, as it were here, reveals to us our true position in the Lord Jesus Christ as believers. And that's what I want us to see tonight by God's help and grace. That there may be some believer here and you've lost that sense of excitement and wonder. And the eyes, spiritual eyesight, has got clouded over. And you're failing to see how rich you are in Christ. So let's think of it in this way. Surely the apostle is speaking here of spiritual illumination. Spiritual illumination. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I recently spoke to a lady who had had a cataract operation. And she said, it's so wonderful. I can see clearly now. Before it was all fuzzy and misty. But now I can see the beauty of the flowers, etc. And this is something what Paul is emphasizing, I believe, for the believers there at Ephesus. That you might have the eyes of your understanding fully open, being enlightened. The cataract removed, the things of this earth, the pressures, the things that perhaps have become too important in the place of Christ, whatever it may be, suddenly I'm made aware how rich, how blessed, how favored I am, how great is my God. So it's spiritual illumination. And that leads, as Paul says here, to a deep knowledge of God. How deep is your knowledge and my knowledge of God? Not a knowledge here to salvation. They are already believers. Remember that, beloved. But Paul is emphasizing here in this first prayer and in the second prayer in chapter 3 to the Ephesians. Not a knowledge to salvation, but rather to their standing and position in Christ. Oh, how easy it is to forget that. How easy. In the knowledge of him. Read those well-known words. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 7. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. We haven't yet seen it all. The best is yet to be. But dear friend, are you rejoicing tonight in the measure of spiritual eyesight that the good Lord has given to you, and that you are excited tonight at being a Christian? You can say, I am the most blessed, the most favored, the richest person in the universe. All that our eyes may be opened. Spiritual illumination. A deep, deep knowledge of God. That wonderful hymn. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. 'Tis a heaven of heavens to me. It lifts me up to glory. For it lifts me up to thee. And you say, well, I don't want to go there yet. Oh, a little foretaste won't hurt, will it? It lifts me up to glory. Glory. What about your spiritual eyesight? What about it? There's some evidence that something is happening here in the child of God who is fully seeing all that God has done for him, all that God has provided for him. True evidence, true evidence. First of all, we understand something of the greatness and the wonder of our calling. In those wonderful words that we read, chosen in him before the foundation of the world. How easy it is to forget that. How easy it is to take perhaps our salvation for granted. It may be that someone here this evening say, well, a few years ago I decided to have Jesus. My dear, dear friend, it's more wonderful than that. It's more glorious than that. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world, my spiritual eyes are beginning to see how blessed, how favored. And with that, surely we say, why me? Why did he choose me? I never can tell. To save me from hell. That's why he chose and loved me so. But there is evidence, you see, that our spiritual eyes are being opened by the grace of God and the mercy of God. And we're beginning to be reminded again and blessed. Chosen in him. We understand something of the greatness and the wonder. Oh, I say to you, never lose that sense of wonder that you've been chosen in Christ before the world was made. There's some more evidence. We understand something of the purpose of our calling. The Apostle Paul says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Why did he choose me? Why did he choose you before the foundation of the world? Not so that you could be boastful. Not so that you could pat yourself upon your own back and say, what a wonderful person I am. No, no, no. I begin to understand when my eyes are opened spiritually. And he chose me and he loved me and he died for me to the praise of the glory of his grace. His grace. So we make much of the grace of God. I love to meet Christian people. I've met some recently and they're full of this. They're full of the grace of God in their lives. And it does me good when they speak to me and when they share with me something of their spiritual pilgrimage. They've begun to understand that God loved them and chose them for a purpose. Not that they may be puffed up, but rather to the praise of the glory of his grace. Thirdly, by way of evidence, we understand something of the security of our calling. And I go back to those words. Made us accepted in the beloved. When our spiritual eyes are open and we see clearly, we understand something of the glory of the security of the saints. He's made us, you, me, accepted in the beloved. Not just for time, but for eternity. Oh, you might go away from this evening's service, dear friend, with a warm, burning heart, and again be able to say, isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? Isn't it wonderful that God loved me before I ever knew him, before I ever loved him, before I was ever formed? He's made me, poor, guilty, hell-deserving sinner, accepted in the beloved for time and for eternity. how sad for some believers who don't see that clearly and don't believe it and don't understand it. They suggest to us that one moment they're saved and the next moment we're lost. And that's impossible, beloved. If our spiritual eyes have been opened, we're accepted in the beloved for time and for eternity. So the Apostle Paul is reminding the Ephesians here and praying that their eyes may be opened, that they may begin to see something of that vital relationship which is theirs by grace alone. In many of the letters that Paul wrote, many of his epistles, this is his longing, this is his prayer, that those to whom he writes may have a vital sense of their relationship with God. Remember, as he wrote to the Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. That's the literal reading. We read it very quickly, that I may know him. Oh, friends, stop for a moment. Paul is praying there for the Philippians, that their eyes may be opened, that they may have that sense of a vital relationship, knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and more intimately acquainted with him. Who does not desire that? Anyone here? Oh, I don't want that kind of teaching. Well, may God have mercy upon you, friend. May we desire, as Christians, that sense of vital relationship. A vibrant communication is also here before us. Paul again, writing to the Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, says that I may actually be found and known as in him. It's not something we just lightly shrug off our shoulders and say, well, I just want to know him better. Take it deeper, that I may actually, that word's so important, that I may actually be found and known. Here's the communication, here's the relationship, known as in him. Here is contact, here is fellowship. Or listen to the Apostle Paul writing to the Colossians, in chapter 3 and verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And all these references and many more, they speak of intimate relationship, eyes that have been opened to begin to see and to understand and to apply these great and glorious truths, vital relationship.